It's Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, in for Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, the Washington Post got an internal National Park Service report that details ways construction of the border fence in Arizona could harm some historic sites. First, a new report from the Trust for America's Health says obesity in America is getting worse. The group reported that last year obesity rates went up in 33 states. In Wisconsin, however, we stayed about the same, with 32% of residents qualifying as obese. Though the trend here has largely been an increase in obesity rates over time, according to the group, the state of obesity, which is a collaborative project of the Trust for America's Health and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Dr. George Chip Morris is president of the Wisconsin Medical Society. He's with us today to talk more about the problem of obesity in Wisconsin and to share some suggestions for what can be done to improve it. Dr. Morris, thanks so much for joining us.
Good afternoon, Judith.
How significant is it, hearing those numbers, that the obesity rate in Wisconsin stayed the same last year while it rose in many other states around the country?
Well, we have this ongoing battle with weight and obesity, and it is encouraging that it's not worsening. But when a third of our population actually has a weight that is unhealthy for them and predicts that they'll have future diseases, then we are not where we need to be. And the fact that other states are worsening is just a national disaster. It's a health disaster, it's an economic disaster, and it's a national security disaster.
And we'll get into some of those details in a bit. But first, what do you think accounts for the past rise and the current rate of, as you said, about a third of adults here in Wisconsin falling into the obese category?
Well, there are a number of things that have been attributed to our weight gain. First of all, there has been a move away from physical activity, which was quite a bit more prominent in earlier parts of our life, and a gradual increasing of unhealthy eating behaviors that occur. Our meal sizes have progressively gotten larger. Our plate sizes have actually gotten larger over time, so that the epidemic that we have is really the result of a multifactorial set of issues.
Is part of it then education, of knowing what we really need as far as physical activity, as far as the amount of food or calories in a day that we need to be healthy?
There's no question that understanding the nature of how to manage weight is actually at the heart of all of this. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Task Force for America's Health are just pointing out, again, things that are critical. 10 years ago, the Institute of Medicine published a report on the state of America's weight. And it highlighted many of these same issues, that our system promotes policies that don't address appropriate food and activity levels, that we don't make food, that we don't make health an easy choice for people to choose. And then finally, we really need to design this into the system so everyone benefits, because we see a significant amount of inequity in the effects of obesity.
And I wanted to talk about the inequity in a couple of different ways. One is, these are not percentages that are identical across different social, economic, racial groups. How does that break down demographically?
Well, we actually see fairly striking differences. Men and women have relatively similar rates of obesity, but African Americans and Latinos tend to have obesity rates both, but prominently in women, but of sometimes 20% higher than their white counterparts. And Asian individuals have half of that. So we see disparities in this issue around weight. And we see it socioeconomically. In poor neighborhoods, we see a significantly higher rate of obesity. So it is affecting us. It's affecting us very profoundly, and it's at a great cost.
And let's talk about some of those obesity-related health issues that add to that cost, both the cost to the person who is suffering from them, but also to the cost of providing health care, employment, et cetera. What are some of the most clearly linked health problems that are either caused by or exacerbated by obesity?
Well, the list is so large that it's hard to, we won't have any more time for the rest of the program. Cardiovascular disease, obviously, heart disease is top of the list, hypertension and the health of the heart itself, myocardial infarction are both increased. And as weight increases, we see increasing risks for heart attack and hypertension, diabetes, which is growing in all of our populations, young and old, is escalating rapidly. But now we actually have identified that forms of cancer are associated with obesity. Our issues around healthy reproductive situations, maternal and infant mortality are affected by overweight parents. It's everywhere, and it affects the ability of those individuals to actually maintain their health. And as soon as they start to have those health problems, then they find themselves potentially having more trouble with accessing good health, good health care, and they pull out of the workforce. They stop being part of the economic engine that drives our country's success. And in addition to that, they no longer are able to perform some of the most critical functions that we have, particularly in young people, which is that they no longer are going to qualify to serve in the armed forces or be members of our civil defense. These are far-reaching and very expensive issues.
We're talking with Dr. George Chip Morris right now. He's president of the Wisconsin Medical Society, and we're talking about the issue of obesity in Wisconsin in light of a new report looking at obesity rates in the state and around the country. And I was just thinking, Dr. Morris, are we seeing, how would I say it, a lack of advancement of, say, life expectancy due to these many, many serious health issues that are linked to obesity?
Absolutely. It is entirely likely that the current generation of Americans will actually potentially see shorter lifespans than the current generations and future generations even shorter, because these health issues continue to mount. Obesity is an epidemic. One-third of the country has a condition that we know will make them prone to having a much higher frequency of disease, and a disease that will eventually limit their life, limiting their ability to contribute to society and to successfully have a contribution in the communities that they live in. All these things truncate the ability of our American public to do well. There are estimates now that by 2025, it's possible that only one in four American 17-year-olds would even qualify for selective service based upon their inability to pass the physical requirements. It's catastrophic.
And I want to talk a little bit about those young people, even younger than those that would be registering for selective service. What do we know about obesity rates in children?
This, of course, has been a major focus for all along, because we actually do recognize that early obesity actually leads to an entire lifetime of obesity. That the fat cells in our body are not yet necessarily developed. They remain as stem cells, undifferentiated fat cells. And that when we feed them, it is that stimulus that actually creates an actual fat cell. And to actually reduce that fat cell's size, you have to literally starve it. It won't go away. It's still going to be there. So addressing childhood obesity becomes particularly important. And those efforts have to start, you know, even in preschoolers, because we see the children now developing diabetes at a very alarming rate in young individuals. Our obesity rate just two decades ago was half what it is in our 10 to 17 year old kids, and that group only continues on to have those health problems as adults, and their lives are truncated by it.
We're talking to Dr. George Chip Morris. He's president of the Wisconsin Medical Society, and we're discussing obesity in Wisconsin. We've been talking a lot about the costs, and we'll start looking at some solutions in just a bit. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Has obesity impacted your life or that of a loved one? What questions or comments do you have about what individuals, schools, doctors, or the government can do about this obesity epidemic? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Right now, we're picking up our conversation about the public health impact of obesity in Wisconsin. Dr. George L. Morris is president of the Wisconsin Medical Society and is with us to discuss challenges we face and possible solutions. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What experiences have you had with obesity, either yourself or someone close to you? What would you like to see done by government when it comes to bringing Wisconsin's obesity rate back down? Do you see other solutions that you think should be tried? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. And let's go to the phones, and Owen in Wyoega is up first. Hi, Owen.
Hi. Hi, Judith. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I just wanted to share one of my personal experiences here with what I found was I started looking at what I was eating, and I found anything that came out of a box, a package, or most restaurant foods even, you find a lot of added sugar. So I tried to stay away from anything with added sugar, and I just miraculously lost 10 pounds. I didn't really change my other eating habits. I didn't cut out fat and other things like that. But what I was really surprised to find, I was reading all this information, we're importing all kinds of sugar from other countries into this country, and the amount of fertilizer that the sugar cane responds to when it's growing, it really yields well the more fertilizer you use. So there's a ton of synthetic, chemically engineered fertilizers going into sugarcane.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there, Owen, so Dr. Morris can respond to that. I'm not sure, Dr. Morris, if you can address the agricultural issue there, but
sure.
But the issue of added sugar.
Absolutely. Owen really points out an incredibly important part about what we need to do. The Medical Society drafted a policy on obesity many years ago, which is, I think, still very current in the sense that it really enforces the need for nutritional labeling. And the more labeling that we can do, the better. One of the things that he's learned and he's benefited from is the labeling that says how many sugars are in his products. And in fact, those sugars represent calories, but they represent no calories with no additional benefit. And the society recommends that we do more labeling and that we avoid foods and food types that are associated with that added sugar. So nutritional labeling is a big part of what the TFAH and Robert Wood Johnson really recommended that we do to make healthy choices easy for people. And, you know, Judith, in fairness, you know, I did search on your site for the article that you had described about obesity before our program today. And after I found the article, the two next things that it recommended to me were a recipe for cookies and a recipe for cake from America's Test Kitchen. I think of the world of America's Test Kitchen, but lots of added sugar in that process. And so better nutritional labeling, better food and beverage marketing are key parts of helping that part that Owen actually identifies as so important.
Let's go back to the phones, and Marcus in Madison, I think, has a point that goes right along with that. Hi, Marcus.
Hi, Ms. Sears-Poisson and Dr. Morris. I think it has to be pointed out that one of the greatest offenders in this state in media of promoting the kinds of food that feature no nutrition, lots of fat, eating as entertainment is WPR. You can't go 2 hours on WPR without hearing about food. An hour devoted to how to make cheese on the grill and the ice cream museum, and it just goes on and on.
And Marcus pointing out that there is it's hard to avoid talking about or seeing advertising or praise in some cases of a variety of foods that might be best enjoyed in extreme moderation. Dr. Morris.
Right. And it's a absolutely fair point that we are still in obviously a transition, but we need to start to move forward. Actually, program that I listened to recently on public radio talked about including ginger in meals, and so that you didn't have to include as many sugars, because the ginger was actually satisfying some of those needs. But it's not just that. It's that we have to actually make sure that nutrition is available. There's not a level playing field out there for nutritional foods, and we have to find systems that will actually assist with that, to actually level that out, so that those disparities where we have poverty and race influencing obesity start to be diminished over time.
Let's talk about some of the Wisconsin Medical Society's policy proposals for preventing and treating obesity in both children and adults. One that I think might not be at the top of people's minds is the physical activity environment, not just amount of physical activity, but the environment in which we are moving. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Judith, while that isn't obvious, it is so critical. Land design so that there are safe spaces, there are functional spaces for people to use for physical activity is so crucial, and it has to start early. Safe to school projects where children have an easy way to use their legs and walk and use physical activity to be getting to school. I know that the Bicycle Federation, for instance, sponsors programs to help children bicycle safely to school. Those sort of safe to school programs that the CDC has put together target children with obesity risk factors, with that not only their nutrition but their physical activity. Those are things that, from a things we can do standpoint, really have to come farther forward to the front. And in fact, our Safe Streets approval here in Wisconsin that went through the legislature is an example of that. Promoting cities that actually create safe environments for people to be physically active is exactly the kind of policy that we need to enhance, make more common, so that people get out and do things.
We're talking with Dr. George Morris, president of the Wisconsin Medical Society, about dealing with and addressing the obesity crisis here in Wisconsin. And Dr. Morris, it can, I think, sometimes feel overwhelming when you see those huge numbers of people, adults and children, dealing with obesity. But some things are working. There was a decline in obesity rates among 2 to 4 year olds who were participating in the WIC program. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, the Women and Children's Program that provides early life nutrition for children is able to provide that in a way that actually meets some of these recently adopted standards. The special milk program that provides skim milk for children so as not to promote additional unneeded calories. That the school lunch and breakfast programs make sure that children are actually receiving meals that will actually help support them nutritionally so their health is continued. And really an important one and very poignant here in Wisconsin is the farm-to-school program. So all of those programs in childhood nutrition are fairly key and really important in making sure that those early years form a basis for healthy eating. And then we need to actually be able to do that over the long term because, you know, we still need to be healthy eaters when we're older, too, because obesity climbs throughout our life and then actually slows down in late adulthood. But it is very common in the middle portion of our years.
Briefly, as we wrap up, are you hopeful on this issue?
I'm absolutely hopeful that we identify these issues. I would like to see large-scale, bigger changes. And one of them that we pointed out at the Medical Society and was published in the Wisconsin Medical Journal is that many physicians suffer without having a very clear or without having a pathway to actually provide help for people who are obese. That our physicians, when polled, found that at least a third of them had no really clear direction where they could actually get a structured medical service. So to move forward in this whole process, I think I'm hopeful we'll get larger investments.
Dr. Morris, thanks so much for joining us. That's Dr. George Chip Morris, president of the Wisconsin Medical Society. We talked with him today about Wisconsin's obesity rate and policy proposals for how to improve the public health problem.